Welcome back, everyone, to Your Life, God's Word, where we take the principles found in Scripture and we apply them to our everyday lives, those areas that are most important: faith, family, and community. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. We are here with yet another episode here, Your Life, God's Word. Now, every so often, every so many episodes, we just kind of take a couple of seconds to explain the purpose of this podcast. Now, this could expand, it could flow, it could change a little bit here and there, but by and large, this podcast, it's named the way it is for a purpose. It's got a specific goal in mind, and that is to take the Word of God, right? That's the God's Word part, and apply it to all aspects of life. So your life, or you know, my life, our life, God's Word, and that is to take the Word of God, the Scriptures, and to apply the Scriptures holistically, not just to, oh, how do I get saved, or the spiritual realm. We don't do this dualistic thing here where it's like we only focus on the internal man, the spiritual things, and we don't focus on the earth, the world, creation, the created order, things like government and family and politics and all that stuff. The Word of God is applicable to all facets of life: our spiritual life, our emotional, psychological, mental life, our physical life. So that would include things like what we do in our physical bodies, things like living in the world, government, politics, education, right? The mountains of culture, all that stuff we've been talking about a little bit. And also just what to do in our physical bodies, right? Things like health, for instance, wealth. For instance, what does the Bible say about finances? What does the Bible say about, you know, work ethic and things like that? So it just, again, it transcends all. It is comprehensive. It includes, it's all inclusive. It includes all of these aspects. And I, again, the reason why I sometimes spend time just mentioning that and talking about that is that so many Christians get myopic, right? They're just kind of, they get narrow focused. They get centered on one aspect, and that's all they really think about or look at, or they look at nothing. They just kind of like, you know, God's word, just kind of like, okay, it is what it is, and I'll just live my life, and hopefully I'm good enough to make it to heaven. So we try to sort of pierce through all the fog and get to what the Word of God is for. And the Word of God is for all things in life. So it's for everything. So that said, we've been going through, just started this kind of new series, going all the way back to the beginning, going back to the creation of the world, going back to Genesis, or the book of beginnings, Genesis, and just let's read through it, let's talk through it, let's discuss it, and let's apply it to where we are right now, right? We're in 2023, June of 2023 specifically, but hopefully this carries forward and can be used in 2024 and 2040 and 2050 and 2060 and however long we're here. If this is the year 4000 and we're still here and somehow this podcast is out there, this should be able to apply to what's going on. So last time we started in Genesis 1:1. I believe we only got four words into the first verse, right? In the beginning, God. So, you know, maybe we'll get a little further or maybe not. I'm just trying to take my time just as, you know, I don't have super well drawn out drafted notes for this. It's really just a let's read through it and discuss kind of where we are. What is this verse or collection of verses saying? What does it apply to? And, you know, we'll go, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, maybe an hour or so. And then we'll just, you know, kind of cut it off and we can pick it up next time. And I don't want to be in a rush. I also don't want to arbitrarily just, you know, only do one verse each time. It's really just a let's see what God's word is telling us and what it's saying. So last time we started in Genesis 1:1. We will continue there. In the beginning, God. And I just spent a lot of time talking about how the opening of Scripture just hits so many of the things that we are currently in our culture. These are major discussions. There's a lot of disagreement on this, right? And Scripture just kind of opens up with, yeah, in the beginning, God. Go watch that whole episode. It was like 45 minutes on just that. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So that's kind of verses 1-5 there. Let's take a look at some of these things. The first thing that jumps out at me is, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. God created all that we know, all that we see, all that we experience. We know that angels are created beings, for instance, and that's one of the things that, like, okay, if angels are created beings, then what, you know, where did they come into play? Where did they, you know, where did that happen? You know, the Bible does not actually give a specific timeline for all things that have happened. And that, I think, is an important thing as we look through the Word of God. If you go through the book of Genesis, some of the characters that God really focuses on are barely even mentioned in, like, world history. And then you have characters that are super important to, say, world history or things like that, and the Bible just barely gives them a blurb in there. And that's because the Bible is specific. God is communicating a specific message. He wants us to focus in and understand specific information and dwell on specific things. For instance, Abraham. There's chapter after chapter after chapter on Abraham versus, you know, someone like Cyrus, huge on the world stage, right? Or Nebuchadnezzar or whatever. But, I mean, they're mentioned, but there's not a whole lot in there about them. Again, because Abraham is important for God's kingdom, for what God is wanting to communicate to us as the people of God, as the kingdom of God. And so he specifically mentions certain things. Now, does this mean that only the Bible should be used for all things in life? No. The Bible doesn't describe and talk about mathematics, but mathematics is extremely useful. So there are things outside of the Bible that we use for life, but if we want to hone in on, focus in on what's important from God's perspective for His kingdom, for His people, the Scriptures are where we go, and God has given us what is sufficient, as Paul told Timothy, right? The Scriptures, they are sufficient. All Scriptures given by inspiration of God, right? Or God breathed, that the man of God will be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works, okay? Or fully equipped. The man of God may be complete. So Scripture is specifically for people wanting to follow after God, wanting to be a part of His kingdom, and so on and so forth. So again, I'm just kind of throwing that out there as a God created the heavens and the earth, and then it starts immediately going into what He did here in the earth. It does not explain like how He created the angels or when He created the angels, or it just doesn't do that. But we know they are created beings. So that said, there are lots of discussions, lots of speculation. People believe that there was a race before Adam, before God created Adam and Eve, that existed, and that, you know, stuff happened, and some, you know, there was a war, things were destroyed, blah blah blah, and then this picks up when God is kind of recreating, right, starting over from scratch. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that. It's important, again, when there's extra biblical things out there, you know, you have things like the Maccabees, which there might be some good history in there, but it's not raised to the level of Scripture. Now I know the Catholic Church, they put it into their canon, right, into their Bible, and so there might be a little dispute there. But when it comes to things like, you know, the Book of Enoch, people love to get into that. It's like, ooh, what's in here? And there may be some good stuff in there. There may be some good explanatory things in there, or it may all just be a bunch of fiction. So, you know, we have to be careful when it comes to extra biblical sources. Doesn't mean it's not true. Doesn't mean there's not stuff in there that's good. But we really, as the church, as the kingdom of God, should focus on the Scriptures and say, all right, this is what God really wants to communicate, what we really need to know. So, God creates the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. So, if something has no form and it's void, it's completely empty, I think the argument can easily be made that it's nothing, right? But you could say, well, verse 1 says, God created the heavens and the earth. Boom, He created them. And then verse 2 gets into how He breaks it down, how He kind of comes back and explains verse 1 in more detail, right? Some people talk about the way that writers in Hebrew, in Judaism, do kind of a circular way of writing. They'll say something, then they'll come back and kind of say it again with a little more detail, and then sometimes they'll come back and say it again with a little more detail. And you can see some of that with Genesis 1, 2, and 3, where there's a little more explanation going on as you come back to it. Say, for, you know, chapter 2, talking about, you know, expanding on the creation of man, things like that. So there's some of that, but I just, again, I want people to take from this that everything was created by God. God, the specific God we're talking about, Yahweh, He spoke everything into existence. He created everything. He created the natural order. He created mankind, right? He created everything in the spiritual realm. God is the only thing, Yahweh is the only thing that is uncreated. And we, again, go back to my discussion last time when I talk a little bit about that and how we can get there from a philosophical or logical standpoint. But God is the eternal uncreated one. He created the heavens and the earth. The earth is without form. It's void. There's darkness over the face of the deep, right? And then what happens? The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. God says what? Let there be light. And light, boom, shines forth. Through the power of the Word of God, through the power of His Word, He speaks and He creates. I think the fancy word for that is omniscient, right? He is able, He has the powers of creation. He has all power of creation, and He can just create things ex nihilo, which is a fancy way of just saying out of nothing. And that's what He did. And so we see in verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God calls the light day and the darkness night, and there's evening and morning the first day. Now, again, God creates this heavens and earth. Then He begins to focus in, or at least in the scriptures here, we focus in and we start seeing this tangible kind of created universe, created world. That's what the focus is. That's where we're focusing in on. That's where the scriptures begin. All right? He separates the light from the darkness. He gives a name to the light. He calls it day. And He gives a name to the darkness. He calls that night. And then it says, there was evening, there was morning the first day. Now, there's a lot of, again, discussion around whether these days are literal days. Are they, you know, could they be ages, you know, periods of time? You know, is it speaking metaphorically when it says that it's a day? Is it really just saying a length of time? And, you know, people use the scripture in Peter, I think it's 1 Peter, that says, you know, to God, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. That is, I'm sorry, not 1 Peter. That is 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now let's go read it really quick, because I think it's important to the discussion. Because what is one side's sort of contention on this, or position on this, right? Well, if a day is like 1,000 years, you know, each of these days could be a length of time that is indeterminate, or maybe it's 6,000 years, which I don't, that doesn't really, you know, a lot of times what we're trying to do with this, or what people are trying to do with this, is match or marry up evolution, the concept of evolution, with the Word of God. Now, first, let's go look at the scripture in Peter. This is 2 Peter 3. And my keyboard's like not wanting to work here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. All right. So this is not a mathematical formula showing like, oh, one day equals 1,000 years. Right? God's day equals 1,000 of our days. That's not what it's saying, because it also says, and 1,000 years are like a day. So, which is it? Now, most people who try to expand time in the Bible, people who try to extend time periods in the Bible, say, oh, yeah, see, but 1,000 years, it's like a day to God. But a day is like 1,000 years, right? The flip side is the same. It's not giving you any kind of like mathematical equation to determine if we've been here 1,000 years, that's only one day to God. Or if we've been here a day, it's like 1,000 years. That's not what it's doing. It's showing us that God is beyond time. Time is not really something that God has to operate by. God is timeless. God is eternal. God is not subject to linear time. Now, when he's working in the earth, when he's working with human beings, and he says a day, when Jesus, you know, said tomorrow, he wasn't meaning, oh, really? He means 1,000 years from now, because he's speaking, you know, in terms of like, you know, God's eternality. That's no. He meant tomorrow. Let's go do this tomorrow. Why? Because he's communicating to us, and tomorrow means something to us, right? But in essence, God is not bound by linear time. He's eternal. The way I look at it, I don't know if it's helpful for you, I look at it almost like, you know, God is outside of time. So almost like he's watching a screen, or he's got like this model in front of him of past, present, and future, and he can see it all at the same time. So to God right now, God is currently listening to me record this podcast. He's also seeing Jesus crucified on the cross. He's also talking to Abraham, and he's also doing something, you know, 2,000 years in the future, because God is not captured by time. He's outside of time. So all of time is happening to God all at the same time. And so he can say this is happening, or this already happened, even though it hasn't happened yet. Right? It blows. I mean, it kind of blows your mind, but you can still understand the concept. Right, even though it's kind of like, ooh, that's, wow, that's really kind of beyond human beings, because that's how we operate, is in linear time. Our entire life is spent in time, right? But I think it's something we can perceive or conceive of, and the Bible sort of explains this and talks about this. Right? He calls things that are not as though they were. You know, he talks to Jeremiah and he says, hey, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Well, how can you do that? Jeremiah doesn't even exist yet, and yet you've called him and, you know, made him a prophet to the nations. Because God speaks things that are not as though they already were, or as they already are. And so, getting back to Genesis, people try to say, each of these days really is this long period of time. I personally don't believe that. It says there was evening and there was morning the first day. Also, when you get to Exodus, the Bible parallels the days of creation with the days of the week and talking about like Sabbath and all that. And so I'm not really sure why we need to insert into the scriptures an understanding of, no, these are like long eons of time, when the biblical text doesn't seem to indicate that. And if we all believe and agree, I think even people who believe that, you know, there are long ages of time in between, that they still believe that God created this stuff, right, by the power of his word. So if God can create over time and age and using evolution or something like that, but God is still doing it and he's still all powerful, why can't God just create something, boom, just like that, in an instant? I think it's just, is there really biblical evidence for that? I think people try to, marry up supposed, oh man, but science, you know, shows all these things with evolution. It doesn't, you know. Just because over the last 150, 200 years or so, you know, people have pushed that as propaganda and unfortunately captured certain institutions that push it, right? Institutions like the education system and a lot of scientific maybe journals and science education. There have been, through the ages, brilliant minds, brilliant people, brilliant philosophers, brilliant scientists, brilliant everything, that do not believe in evolution. And so, again, I just don't think it's necessary. So, and again, I guess when you talk about evolution, right, are you talking like macro evolution or microevolution, right? Micro meaning things change over time. Well, yeah, things change a little bit here and there over time. You can have a population of, you know, black moths or white moths that over time, because of certain conditions and stuff, slowly and surely that population turns into black moths, right? Because maybe predators can see the white moths more easily and they pick them off, and the only ones that survive are the black moths that have some camouflage, and slowly but surely the black moths survive, right? And it's only the black moths that really are surviving. That's not the same as, you know, life coming from non-life and human beings coming from lower species. That is macro, and that is not proven in any way, shape, or form. And so I think it's silly to take something that is not well established scientifically, philosophically, it doesn't make any sense. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. Why do we take that and then go, oh man, we got to fit the Bible to that? I don't think we need to do that. I think the Bible could mean, maybe there's some arguments that it could be a long age, a long span, you know, a span of time. But why do we need to do that when it seems to indicate evening and morning were the first day? You know, evening and morning. Boom, you got a day there. So that's where I sit. That's where I stand. I don't think it's something that we should necessarily, split the church over or anything. You know, somebody kind of believes, no, I think this was longer than 6 days. You know, I think there are lots of things that I would look at as that's erroneous. That's not really correct, but, you know, it's not going to necessarily, the word necessarily has to go there. It's not necessarily going to impact the way you view the kingdom, the way you view God, the way you view the gospel. I think if it starts to creep into that and impact that, then that's where there's a problem. But I just want to throw that out there, show you, you know, from scripture It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to. Although I think the door might be open for that if there's really good reason to sort of view the scriptures in that way. I just don't see that there's a good reason to do so. And until there's some kind of really just solid, good reason to think, maybe this is talking about ages, then why not just let it be a day, right? I don't think it's anything to, again, you know, be at each other's throats over or be, you know, splitting a church over and that kind of stuff. But I think God can create, boom, just like that with his word. I think we see that all throughout the scripture, how much power he has over creation. And so the evening and the morning were the first day. That really seems good enough to me. Next up, we see the flow of creation, right? God said, let there be an expanse in the middle of the waters. Let there separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. There was evening, there was morning, the second day. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. The waters were gathered together. He called seas. God saw that it was good. Notice he's seeing everything is good. The things he's creating, they are good. Verse 11, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plant, yielding seed, fruit trees, bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. See, this is where we kind of get into the idea of kinds, and things are not, right? Things are not jumping from a plant into a fish, or a fish into a bird, or any of this stuff, right? There's a kind, and again, these are not scientific categories where you have like, oh my goodness, I can't even remember from way back, probably in high school, maybe middle school, right, where it's like family, genus, phylum, like all those things, species, right, all of this. The Bible is not trying to match that up with anything. It's just saying, look, there's a certain kind. Right. If I said, hey, there's a wolf, a dog, and a banana. Which of these three are not the same kind? I would say a banana is probably the easy one to identify. Right? Again, in human terms, we might break those down into really minuscule little categories with a lot of specification, but the Bible isn't really trying to do that. It's just saying, hey, apples produce apples. Can you take an apple and a pear and, you know, kind of use them and try to crossbreed and all this stuff? They're both fruit, right? So do you think you can keep crossbreeding fruit and create a rock, right? Create a bird, right? There's a limit to this. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, see that there's a way that you can take two different things and crossbreed them over time. And eventually you have a new quote unquote kind of thing, but it's really not. I mean, the genetics are just able to crossbreed, but you're never going to crossbreed two pieces of fruit, no fruit, and get a fish, right? But that's exactly what people who believe evolution, just given enough time and it will happen. That's insane, okay? And if you really think through that belief system, it really does require, even if that's possible, you need something living. Now we have to get into the technical term abiogenesis and all this stuff, where life comes from non-life, which is not proven, right? They've been trying to do this in laboratories for forever, and they can't do it even under perfect circumstances, right? It's not done, right? So you got to get that. Well, then you also have to have the raw components that were able to get into the spark that sparked the abiogenesis, right? right? So again, it's just, again, it goes back to worldview. It goes back to what do you presuppose? What do you ultimately decide to, I'm going to believe this? And we talked a little bit about that last time, so go check that out. But again, there does come a point where you are going to believe something, even though it's not pen and paper, scientifically, mathematically provable. You have to start with some baseline assumptions. And my baseline assumption is the Word of God is true. It is the infallible, inerrant Word of the Almighty Eternal God, right? Prove me wrong, right? So anyway, we've got the fruit, we've got the earth bringing forth vegetation. Where were we? Verse 11, I think. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. I think I already read this, but let's just go. Fruit, seeds bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation. This is verse 12. Plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. God said, this is verse 14, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. I love that, you know, he just kind of throws in and the stars. And yet there are, what's like septillions of stars. It's just like, a number so vast, like you can't, it doesn't even really mean anything. It's like, oh my goodness. Just like, but right, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And I just think that's sort of almost like prophetic. It's all, you see that light and day are greater than night, ultimately. Verse 17, and God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and the morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and great living creatures that move. Oh, and great living creature that moves. And every, I was like, what am I missing? And every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now, God's creation is a good thing. It's a good thing. God created the physical world. The physical world is a good thing. It's not innately evil, like everything physical or earthly is just evil. I think this goes to things like, should Christians be good stewards of the earth? Should we be good stewards of the created order? Yes, we should. Do not translate that into, should we believe some of this like climate change nonsense? No, we can care about our environment and not be some whack job environmentalist. We can care about animals and not be, you know, some crazy governmental, like insane, in order to protect this special like fish over here, we're going to put all of the, you know, a million people out of work, right? There's a balance and a priority that we can give to things. But at the same time, I don't think we should look at it like, well, we just don't care. We should. God has given the earth to humankind, which we will see, I think, on the next episode here, because we'll get into the creation of man and the mandate that man has. And this is the thing that really out of creation, I think we really are going to spend some time drawing on, is the who man is, and the mandate that God has given mankind in the earth. Now, we see the creation. We see that it is good. We see that it is ordained of God. All right? It's a good thing to get out and look at the universe. Look at the huge, you know, variety of animals and things, and just be like, wow, this is amazing. And worship the Lord. But also know that He's given this stuff to us. We can enjoy it. We can stand in awe at it, and we should be good stewards of it. Again, I don't think, if we know an animal is going extinct, we should just be like, who cares? Plenty more of them. We should look at it as, hold on, God's given us dominion. Why is this happening? Is there a way we can help? Because if we look at, like, we are in dominion and control over this earth, underneath God's dominion, of course, then these are good things, and we should try to take care in balance, right? And that doesn't mean, again, people using it as an ability to control people, manipulate people. A lot of the whole environmental movement and climate change stuff and all that stuff, it's not that at the heart, at the base of it, the words that they use. We should care about the environment. Yes. We should investigate if there are things that we're doing. Should we just pour, toxic sludge into a river? Well, no. And again, right, in the news, we just recently had in, what was it, Ohio, the train accident that released all these toxins and stuff in the environment, and you have like all it's East Palestine in Ohio. You can go look it up, go check it out. This happened back in, I think, March or February March of 2023, and you've got this train derailment. So yeah, the February 3rd derailment in East Palestine. So it's early February. The train wrecks, but then afterwards we've got all these environmental issues, all these things going on, and yet so many of the environmental crowd, I mean, the people that are the loudest screeching harpies on the news, like, we're almost silent about it. Well, why? I thought they care about the environment. See, they only care, a lot of politicians, for instance, only care about the environment when it suits them. When it's something they can push and control people, they can push and manipulate people, they can make rules and regulations to either get money, or people are coming to them, bowing down, begging for votes or special treatment. That's really what it's about. Okay, I think people need to just understand that. Most of the time, politicians, not all, maybe not all, but most of the time, and possibly all, they're often just concerned about, how can this benefit me? How can this, get me more power, get me more prestige, get some more money on the table? And so at base, at rock bottom, we should be concerned about the environment. These are good things. The animals God has created, they are good. The fish, the birds, they are good. The vegetation, it is good. Okay? These are good things. They're good things. But what's not good is people using those things to try and manipulate and control other people. That is not good. And so anytime anything comes out when it comes to climate change, environmentalism, right? Because back in the day, they used to worry about global warming. And then they just called it climate change. Well, before global warming, there was a, you know, the scare of global cooling and a new ice age. And a lot of us don't remember a lot of that because that was far enough back that they've been able to kind of change the tables and start talking about global warming. But then they started realizing there's kind of shifts back and forth. And so instead of global warming, they call it climate change. So it will encompass whether it's cooling, whether it's warming, it's always climate change. And then they can just push their agenda. That's sickening. That's disgusting. And that's not how the people of God should operate. We should operate in a stewardship type of mentality. Hey, these are the, we should not do things that are obviously harming people. We should not, you know, have a plant over here that's generating maybe a service or something, but it's also killing, you know, this neighborhood over here. We're dumping toxins into, we're killing the population of this small town over here in order to create more, you know, cheaper stuff to get on Amazon, right? So again, I think we see through these scriptures that the environment, the animals, before we get to man, right? The universe, these are good things. The created physical universe is a good thing. I'm trying to really hammer that home because a lot of Christians, they don't necessarily say it with their words, but they kind of act that way in that they believe like only the spiritual stuff counts. And we'll get there. Again, I'm building a case. I'm doing some things. I'm showing some stuff because we will get to a point, and hopefully you've watched these episodes sort of in succession, but we're going to get to a point where we see where this really matters for even like today. But God said he saw the light, he saw the universe, the stars, the moon, he saw the animals, the fish, the birds, the land animals, he saw all of these things, the sky. These are good things. They are good things according to God, according to the Word of God. And so we need to keep that in mind, and we need to give glory to God and thank God for these good things that He has given us. And again, I think Christians can read through these scriptures and know the power of the Word of God, the power that God has to just speak these things into existence. And next time, we will jump into His, I'll say, ultimate creation in the earth, and that is mankind. But until then, just keep it locked and loaded right here. Stay tuned. I hope this has been beneficial and helpful. And definitely, again, we will see you on the next episode.